الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من قال إذا أصبح رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا لأخذن بيدي حتى أدخله الجنة وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and thanks for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy and grace, once again Allah gave us 2 feet to come here to His house and to sit here in this house of His to remember Him. And we know that Allah has blessed us with so many favors. We cannot thank Allah for the favors He has blessed us with. Allah says in the Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the favors of Allah, you can never ever count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest gift Allah gave us is Iman. And for this we have to make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And daily we have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will Allah make us live with Iman, let us die with Iman, and raise us on the day of Qiyamah with Iman. We do not understand and realize what a great ni'mah this is. Just the other day, we had a case in our madrasa where a child who attended our madrasa now, so this lady became murtad. So we go to her, and now because the child was in our madrasa, the boy came to me, and he was in the madrasa, but now he's much grown up. So he said, I need to speak to you. So he just came to me and just cried and cried and cried. 4 or 5 minutes, I didn't know what was the... Then he just tells me that his mother became murtad. So the point is, it was as though the janazah of his mother had left the house. That was the concern this youngster had. So we went and spoke to the mother, but she was still... But the point is, I'm trying to draw across, drive across, is that we have to understand and realize that this Iman which Allah gave us is a very, very great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the verse which I read for you, Allah says, وَلَن تَرَضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Jew and the Christian, they will never be happy with you. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow their way of life. Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ وَالْهُدَى. Verily the guidance of Allah, that is the real guidance. And Allah Ta'ala addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a lesson for us, وَلِنِ اتَّبَعَتْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. If you have to follow their way of life, after the ilm and the knowledge and the guidance has come to you, then Allah says, مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيِّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Then there will be no helper for you, and there will be no guardian and protector for you. So this verse is so apt for the time of this day, for the understand and realize that we have not realized that we are outwardly Muslim, many of us, alhamdulillah, but we have adopted their ways without we even knowing that we have adopted their ways. And you see that recently, our Ustad was giving us a lecture. I would like to share this very nice important points here from this bayan. In 1857, when the British conquered India, and many of you have been to India, India at that time had so much of wealth. That this is all recorded by English writers, not by Muslim writers. India had so much of wealth at that time that there was not a single beggar in India. When you go to India, the amount of beggars you get, you just give one beggar, you get another 20 or 30 coming to hound you. So much of wealth Allah blessed India with that there was not a single beggar in India. Now nevertheless, they came, the British came, and they looted India. And they took all the wealth out of India. Now they sat and got together, and they planned and they plotted. And they said, now we need to take out Islam from India. So this is recorded by English writers. They said, the source of the Islam is the Quran. The source of Islam is the Quran. They said, now let us destroy this Quran. Recorded by them, over 400,000
copies of the Quran was destroyed. Then they saw that there are youngsters who know the Quran by heart. So for the Muslims to read the Quran again would be very, very easy. Now they got together and they thought, they said, this is not working. They said, let us destroy the teachers of the Quran. So the whole object was to wipe out Islam. Allah says also, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُتُفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ the kuffar. They want to wipe out Islam from the surface of the earth. This is the whole plan and the plot. Allah says, اللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِ Allah will complete and perfect His light. Even though the kafir, this believer dislikes it, even though the mushrik dislikes it, but Allah will complete his deen. So nevertheless, they said, now let us kill the ulama. So recorded from Chandni Chowk, which is in Delhi, till Khyber, the distance of 800 kilometers, every tree had an alim hung on this. We had this before. So they said, they never killed the ulama in thousands, but they killed the ulama in tens of thousands. Object again, they thought if they killed the ulama, then the teaching of the Quran would stop, and this is the way they're going to wipe out Islam. Then they realized that this is also not working. They have not... Now they got together, they sat together. And they said, let us do... Now what are we going to do? Now they decided that we will change the mindset of the Muslim. We will change the mindset of the Muslim. The Muslim will be Muslim. He'll be in appearance and in color and blood, he'll be Indian. But his whole mindset will be that of an Englishman. So they said, through the education system, they will change the mindset of the Muslim. And you see today how successful they have achieved this. They are now, if you analyze and see, recently there are some brothers from UK. So we're speaking to them, they said they did the last survey in UK. In the last survey, majority of the population has become which religion? Atheists. So majority, I'm just like, if 40% is atheists, you may get some Muslims, you may get some Christians, some Jews, but majority of the population, they believe in no God. And this whole schooling system, if you look at the word secular education, in the Oxford Dictionary, not my definition, it means godless knowledge, or it means knowledge without a religion. Knowledge, let us just, now see, we have been through the system of this education system, let us just jog our mind now. When we went to school, they thought about the water cycle. Evaporation, condensation, clouds are formed, rain comes. Was there any mention of the name of Allah? Any theory, anything that you can remember in school, they used even Allah's name. So the object of this whole system is to take Allah out of the equation. To take Allah out of the equation, you see. So this whole thing now we have to understand, we have to now, how do we counteract this? What must we do now? So we have to start indoctrinating our children, and we also need it ourselves, that everywhere we have to use the name Allah. In everything that we do, we have to say the word Allah. The more we will say Allah in everything, you see, and Islam teaches us this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this also, that everything that we do, we have to say Allah. The more we will say Allah, the more this conviction will come in our heart that Allah alone is doing. Allah is asking in the Quran, look at the Quran and read. Allah says over there, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طُعَامِ Does an insan look at the food that he consumes and he eats? Allah says, أَنَّا صَبَمْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّ Allah says, we send the rain from the sky. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ Then we cause the earth to split. We cause these different varieties of crops. Allah says, مَتَاعَ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ Allah says, this is a provision for what? For you and for your family, for your animals. So this whole system of the world, the control of the whole world is in the control of Allah alone. So this, we have to speak it so much that we have to convince our hearts that Allah alone is doing. So the more we will convince our heart, the more this conviction will come that Allah alone is doing. And besides Allah, no one can do. You see, today we are all looking for context. A person in the business circles now, whatever business he's in, he's trying to get to the manufacturer, or he's trying to get to the direct supplier. So there's no, the link is, so he gets it at the best price. So we're looking who got the best context. You see, you have to be careful also in business. Now, sometimes people ask, wait, they try to find out who is your supplier. Allah made us like that, Allah protected us. But this is how so we're all looking for the context. In the medical field, who is the best doctor? And so we're looking for the context. So who is the contact, our contact after we die? We need a contact there also. So who's the contact? The contact is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith which I read for you, this is the contact. The contact is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith which I read for you now, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever will say, man qala hina asbaha, whoever will wake up, whoever will read this when he wakes up, raditu billahi rabba, I am happy with Allah as my Rabb. وَبِدْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ I am happy with Islam as my deen. And he was وَبِدْ مُحَمَّدْ نَبِيَّ The words in the hadith, وَبِدْ مُحَمَّدْ نَبِيَّ And whoever will say this, I am happy with Nabi Muhammad as my Nabi. Then Nabi said, what guarantee is giving? He's the contact here. I will hold this person's hand until I will enter him into Jannah. I will hold his hand until I will enter him in Allah. Give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq. Let us take this hadith and give it to the world. This is the contact. He's going to give us success in this world. He's going to give us success in the akhirah. There's only one way. The way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no other way. So we have to understand and realize, we have to convince our heart that this is the way. And we have to make dua. One is to read it, but now we need to conform to it. We need to conform. That this is, I am happy. Raditu billahi rabba. I am 1,000,000,000% happy with Allah as my Rabb. I got no doubts. So the more we're going to say this, Allah, I am happy, you are my Rabb. And I accept that you are my Rabb. And then just try and just analyze. Let's see what we're going to, what's the question in the qabr? It's really very related. Man rabbuk, ma dinuk, man nabiyuk. So what we need to answer in the qabr is the same thing. That we need, when they ask us, I must just say the same thing. So if you said this many, many times, every morning you study, the more you study, the more people you pass this on to, the more people you propagate this message to, the more they will say it, the more you will get rewarded. This will help you to become firm in the qabr. Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasuluhu wa nabiyya. This is the contact. That Nabi alayhi salam is giving the guarantee that I will hold this person's hand until I will enter him into Jannah. So now, as we mentioned now, one is to say it, but we need to conform. Because we're living in a system now, in this whole education system that we've been through, in a system that's a godless system, in a system that there's no mention of Allah Ta'ala in this whole system. So now we have to say, Allah, I'm happy with you as my Rabb. All the time. All the time I'm happy with my Allah as my Rabb. Every condition that comes upon me, I got no complaints against my Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah, he was asked, is there anything greater than ikhlas? So Mawlana thought for a while, and Mawlana said, this is my opinion. Mawlana was a very, very great scholar. He said, in my opinion, imagine how ikhlas is such a great ingredient. Without ikhlas, nothing is accepted. A person can give millions in charity. But if there's no ikhlas, and he gave it for name and fame on the day of Qiyamah, Allah won't accept it from him. Because there's no ikhlas. A person, he gave his life in jihad. Imagine giving your life. But he gave it for name and fame. On the day of Qiyamah, there's no reward. So this is ikhlas. How weighty, everything needs ikhlas. A person was very generous. Whatever he did, but if there's no ikhlas, there's no reward for him. So nevertheless, Mawlana was asked, is there anything greater than ikhlas? So Mawlana replied, in my opinion, greater than ikhlas is ridha bil qada. In my opinion, greater than ikhlas is ridha bil qada. To be happy with the decision of whatever condition Allah puts me in, I am happy with Allah's decision. Yes. If Allah puts me through some trying and difficult conditions, yes, I'll make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, they say, I can't manage this. Ya Allah, you remove it. Ya Allah. But never will any word of complaint. No, never. I will always. Now look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. You see, this whole attack that is taking place is the attack on Iman. Wherever we see, everything is the attack on Iman. We don't realize it. As we said, that the survey came, now most people have become atheists. So this was their object, this is their plan, this is their plot, this is their goal. So we have to understand and realize that we can never become atheists. We have to always recognize with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the time our mind must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attack of Iman again. When it came to the persecution of Bilal radiallahu anhu, we heard this many times, but there's one point that I want to drive across here. When they began to persecute Bilal radiallahu anhu to such an extent, when they used to beat him and take turns to beat him and get tired in beating him, in the day they should take him and put him on the hot, boiling, scorching hot suns of Makkah Mukarramah, take a huge rock and place it on his chest, and they should say, Bilal, renounce Islam or swelter and die. So then he refused. He said, Ahad, Allah is one. He continued, he never refused, he refused to renounce Islam. Now they thought of another strategy. Now they said, now okay, this physical abuse is not working, let us try mental abuse. So they'll, in the name, they say, so they'll break you mentally. This was they came with this strategy. They told Bilal, you are saying Islam is true. You are saying Allah is true. Why is your Allah not helping you? What answer are you going to give? You are saying Allah is true. You are saying Islam is true. Why is your Allah not helping you? But look how Allah inspired Bilal radiallahu anhu. Look at how Allah inspired. Bilal replied, Allah is true. Allah is true. Allah wants to see if Bilal is true. Allah wants to see if Bilal is true. So Allah is saying also, Allah will put you through some tests. Allah will put you through some difficulty. Allah says, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ Allah says, why Allah? So, فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ Allah will put you through some trial and some tests. Well, Allah wants to see who is true, who is genuine, and who is fake. So in life, as we said, you're going to go through some, definitely, you are going to be tested. So in every test, what the main thing is, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّ Allah, I'm happy with you. This test, yes, I make dua, Allah must, we ask Allah for afiyat, we don't say that we are so brave that we can tolerate any test, but we have to always ask Allah for afiyat. But in the test, we will never, ever complain against Allah. So we said, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهِ وَبِلْ إِسْلَامِ دِينَ And I am happy with Islam as my deen. As Allah is saying in this verse also, that the Jew and the Christian, they'll never be happy with you until you follow their way of life. You see, we have five needs. From the time Allah created insan, there's five needs. First, we have a need of clothing. Food. Our first need is food. We all need food. Allah created us with this need. Then Allah created us with the need of clothing. Then you need a shelter. You need a wife. And you need a conveyance. These are the five needs. So the problem today is, we made these needs our object. We made these needs. These are needs. So we have to analyze and see what was the clothing of Rasulullah ﷺ, what was the food of Nabi ﷺ, the simplicity. They say this deen is based on two things, sadgi or haya. Our deen is based on simplicity and modesty. Our deen is based on simplicity and modesty. And the way of the kafir, the kuffar system, their deen is based on what? Extravagance and behayai, immodesty. And we can see the order of the day is immodesty, immorality. How? So we go anywhere, now how much a person has to control his eyes? Because this is what they are promoting. They are promoting behayai, immodesty, and they are promoting extravagance. So our deen is based on sadgiyana. So this is what we have to bring in our life now. The simplicity is what we have to bring in our life. We have to start talking about it. The more we talk about it, the more that conviction will come in. I have to, whatever we had now, but now we have to identify and realize that I need to live a simple life. I can't, because this life is here, it's a temporary and a short life. A person, look at the food of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anhu says, Al-Hilal, Thumma al-Hilal, Thumma al-Hilal. That one crescent to the second crescent to the third crescent, 2 months pass. 2 months pass. There's no fire lit in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anhu asked, how did you all survive? No food. She replied, Al-Aswadan, water and dates. So this was Fatima radiallahu anhu suffering pangs of hunger. Ali radiallahu anhu, some news comes that some goats have come from Bahrain. So Ali radiallahu anhu says, oh Fatima, go and ask Ali radiallahu anhu, Fatima, go ask your father. Things are very difficult. So she goes to ask her father. So her father at that time, we can't imagine how much a love a father has for his daughter. But yeah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching the Ummah something else, another lesson. He tells, oh Fatima, I can give you two, I can give you these goats, or I can give you five kalimats. So she opts for, because whenever dunya and akhirat came, I mean, not even dunya, this is need, I can't even see his dunya, bhai. This was like, spasms of hunger. But she immediately accepts, I want the five kalimats. Jibreel some taught Nabi some five kalimats. So he offered this to his daughter, he said, I can teach you this, or I can give you, he said, give me, teach me the five kalimats. Ya awwal al-awwaleen, wa ya akhir al-akhirin, wa ya dal quwwati al-mateen, ya rahim al-masakin, ya rahmar rahim. These are the five kalimats. She comes back to Ali, if we were in that position of Ali radiallahu anhu, how upset we should have got. What am I going to do with these five kalimats? But look at, because their mindset was right, so they thought in a different way. They thought in akhirah was always the object, Allah's pleasure was the object. So he replied immediately, you made the right decision. So I'm trying to explain to you, when it came to the food simplicity, came to the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, what was the size of his house? You can't even imagine. That when Aisha says, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to go in sajda, then he touched my leg, I had to pull my leg back. So if your leg was like stretched out when she was lying down or sleeping, so then only Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could make sajda. So how small was the house? So there was something different. Allah offered him. Allah offered Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you want, I'll make this mountain of gold. But he chose no. He said, no, I want to live one day, eat one day so I make shukr, and I remain hungry one day so I make sabr. But this was obviously his, so he, why? Because he lived, he set an example, so everyone can embrace this Islam. The poor can live it, the rich can live it. So it's a deed for everybody. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a very, very high standard, a very high example. So this is the way that we have to talk. The simplicity in our needs. The more we're going to become simple, the more to live in this world become easy. And then we will keep our object in front. The object is what? Akhirat. The object is, just the other day I went to visit my own friend. So he asked me, you know, we read one kitab in Madrasa called Zadu Talibin. So he just like off the cuff, he asked me, you remember the kitab? I said, yeah. He just quoted this hadith, which I would like to share with you, but very, very apt hadith. So he said, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. Rasulullah is saying that what is it? Less, but it's sufficient. خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. It's better than a lot, but it occupies you. All the time your mind is scattered. This deal, that deal, this property, that. So you've got a lot, but your mind is very scattered. So Nabi is saying what is less, but it's sufficient. Is better than having a lot. But that a lot what you have, it keeps you occupied all the time. So let us understand and realize now that we have to relate to this here. That this is the kuffar got together and they're trying to wipe out, they're trying to, through the education system, to take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we look at one last point. Look at every dua of Nabi alayhi salam. Every dua. What it teaches you? It teaches you to be shukr. And number two is correction of yaqeen. A person woke up in the morning, what you say? Alhamdulillah. All praise for Allah. Ahyana, who woke you up? Allah woke you up. You ate food? Alhamdulillah. Who fed you? Allah fed you. You came up from the toilet, who removed that burden from your body? So we have to read these du'as and ponder and over these du'as. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us something. In every du'a is teaching what Allah is doing. We're doing nothing. We are doing absolutely nothing. Allah alone is controlling, Allah alone is doing. So the more we will remind ourselves, read these du'as, appreciate these du'as, because the only way is the way of Nabi. We all want the contact. So Allah give us the tawfiq to Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi become the contact. He must hold our hands and take us into Jannah. Let us give our life for Him. That Ya Allah, I want to follow every way of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I want to conform to 100% to the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The way he taught must be my way of thinking. The way he conducted himself must be my way. His outer, inner, his complete, I will just become, Ya Allah, make me just follow Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Allah. And I want to propagate this message, this his way of life to the entire world. This is the mindset of a Muslim. He's not selfish, but he's worried how he can become better. And he can get close to Allah Ta'ala and make such an effort that what can I do now to propagate this way of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so everyone can enjoy this privilege of getting the contact of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.